All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's going to talk about putting the gospel, quote, on display. But if I to ask you a question, do you feel like religious liberty is on the decline? How would you respond? With a lot of people.
It's like the woman in Mobile that had on the shirt that said pray and they sent her home.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it said Lifeway did a survey and 63% of the people they questioned agreed that our religious liberty is on the decline.
When they started telling us where we could pray, that was
that's the beginning. Mm-hmm. But also it said, and I guess we could feel this way, that 43% of those that they questioned think that Christians complain too much about how they're treated. How you're treated as a Christian.
But you know, you can complain and nobody listens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the truth. So we can complain about it, but...
But I guess the thought is, and it leads into the lesson, should we complain as Christians or remain silent and live out the Word?
Well, we're given. When you've had enough, you've had enough. I have something to say about why I can't bring this group. So is that complaining or is that being able to voice my opinion?
Voicing your opinion, maybe. But somebody would take it.
Eric, on the flip side, those who are not Christians, I guess, they're the first ones to tell you that, you know, they have the freedom to speak. It's freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
So why, as a Christian,
we should have the same.
Why do I not have the same right to speak about my beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
So is that a complaint? Or is that a privilege because I'm an American, but I'm also an American Christian?
That's the difference. We think it's our right to speak, but they don't just, you know, they think we're just complaining.
Yes.
They think we're cramming it down their throat.
Mm-hmm.
But
if you turn it the other way and voice that, well, you're putting it down my throat, it's a different viewpoint.
That's when the freedom of speech comes in and the freedom of press. I can write and say what I want to, but as a Christian, I don't have that right.
I don't want you to. But
right.
So many times they suppress us as Christians and we let, you know, things...
That's true. We
have
done that too.
Over before we...
Because mm-hmm.
you feel like you're just beat down. It's not going to do me any good to keep telling y'all if you don't accept, believe and accept salvation, you're going to go to hell. People... You know, so why, I'm tired of telling you that. You're going to learn on your own, because when you get down there, you're
going to
wish you were somewhere
else. Because the lesson today is kind of going to bring out that we are an image of light shining out of darkness. And we are sort of a hidden treasure, like in a clay pot. And have you ever thought of yourself as being a clay pot? Somebody had to form you. Somebody made you. But what the writer's kind of getting to is, starting in verse 5, it tells us, for we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. Now, Paul wasn't preaching to the Corinthians for his glory and his honor. He wasn't trying to draw attention to himself, but did he draw attention to himself? He was ridiculed. He was questioned as why. So do we, like Paul, should we not like Paul, but do we sort of back away from expressing our viewpoints because we don't want anybody to say anything back to us and hurt our feelings?
It's kind of like we mentioned last week. Don't you think Paul got tired of being beat up?
I'm sure.
I mean, walking out the door, not knowing if you're going to be stoned, not knowing what's going to be said to you. And he was human. He was full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's so evident in his travels and his teachings and the books.
Mm-hmm.
He was so full, but yet he was still, to me, he was just a simple man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had the same emotions as we do. You know, fear, hurt, physical and mental hurt. I mean, you know, you get tired of that.
Because he, verse 6, it says, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." Is it a thought, or could we say that it might be the privileges that we gain, which a Christian enjoys, does it move us to have pride? But life is designed to keep a man from having pride. So kind of what they're leaning to is, you're a Christian, you want to exude that, you want to be proud of yourself, you want that to show, but when you go out into the real world and you let that be known, there are people who are going to look at you like you're funny, you're crazy. They contradict what you say, so they knock your pride down a little bit. Life takes that away from us. But talking about the clay jar, and some of us may do this. Do you ever store anything valuable in a little jar or an item and put it somewhere thinking that nobody will ever know that it's there?
Well, if I put it here, I'll remember where it is. And then, like you said, and I'm your point is probably we hide things in a clay jar and we never take them out and share them.
Mm-hmm.
You put something in the jar that is valuable, and either you lose it and you put it there because you don't want anybody else to know that you have it. That's kind of like being a Christian. Do we keep
you
it in?
You store it all up.
We know that we had it because we're going to share it, and I'm not worried about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because verse 7 says, "Now we have this treasure in clay jars so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us." Because it's what we're trying to say here, and we've mentioned, is the point is not to keep the treasure hidden, so to speak, but we want our Christianity to show. We do sometimes kind of harbor it a little bit. We may have an opportunity somewhere, someplace, to voice an opinion about something that's going on, but we'll hold that thought inside, afraid of what might come against us. Because I'm sure none of us in here have never had a problem in our life that we thought, this is it, that's the pits. I can't handle it. Hmm. Because he goes along, and this is like a common verse, and things we've heard, and it's in verses 8 and 9. He talks about, "We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. And we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Now, if you think of those four things, or looking at those, can you say that the life as a Christian can exemplify all of those things?
You know, if you go back to the jars of clay you talked about, we put valuable things in there, but also, even as Christians, we put hurt in those jars of clay.
Sure.
And we don't want to ever share those with anybody. Even as Christians, we don't, or we put our mistakes in the jar, or our embarrassments in that jar, and we never seek help from anybody. We just leave them in that jar, even though we know there's people that would pray for you, that it's been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put that kind of stuff in the same jar, and then it eats on us, but yet still, we still don't share it with someone that could probably help you. Or just somebody, would you just please pray for me? I have it. Situation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that.
Sometimes we're too prideful to share.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I don't want you to know that I've made this mistake. I've done this, you know. Instead of praying for me, I'm going to have this. I don't want you to know it.
You know, we've seen that in people with a perfect family. And then all of a sudden you hear somebody in a perfect family in other people's eyes. Let me rephrase that. And then all of a sudden you hear they're getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. Their children have done this. And, you know, and you think, look back and you think, I wonder why they didn't come and let us help them, or why didn't, and it's just what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Because I read this commentary, it says we're all, I mean, mortal man, we're still the victim of circumstances, we're all still subject to the chances and the changes of human life, still with a mortal body, with all that body's weaknesses and pain. But it says the real characteristic of man is not his power, but his weakness. Because, I mean, if you think about that, man controls a lot in the world. I mean, you have leaders that have the ability to do things. You have men that control, let's say, or in women, I won't forget that, operate vast machinery that carries our electricity to us, brings our water to us. I mean, what if all of a sudden they all decided, that's it? Who's going to step in? Hopefully there's somebody trained. That's the Christian life. We hope that those that come behind us will be able to carry the word on. But he goes on to say, just like a Roman general back in Paul's days, if they went to war and they were successful, when they came back to the town, who's riding in the chariot first? The general. And everybody's carrying on, congratulating him. But they said in the back of the audience were the people shouting, there are people who are saying, you need to look behind you and remember, you will die. So we always should, I mean, we always should look forward, but remember the past too and what got us here. Because are there pressures on us as a Christian? I mean, we have pressures every day just from human life. We may have sicknesses that hold us back from doing certain things. But should and do we sometimes let that get us down? Instead of maybe praising God that I am still here, I'm still able to do some of the work that you wanted me to do. Like we talked before, we're going to be persecuted by men, by people, But like Paul is teaching us, we'll never be abandoned by God. He will always be there with us. Because there's another point, and it says, when we're at our wits' end, but never at our hopes' end. Because I'm sure everybody's had an instance in life where you just, things just built up and built up and built up, and you just, I want to get away. I want it to go. But in the end, who's there to hold us and love us? The love of God. But it's, we have to always look and understand that at those times, we as Christians, we don't need to know what is to be done, but never doubt that something can be done. Because circumstances in life that come your way, you may not have the ability or the knowledge to take care of the problem. But there is someone, maybe a friend, a coworker, that can help you and resolve your problem.
As we talk about that, I do believe there are people that are placed in your life just at the right time that you need that. You might not understand again. But just, you know, you're in a sickness. Or like, I know Betty brought up last week about the cancer center and the grief, the support groups. I mean, and it's true. We know this. We live in the real world. You might have cancer and only go one time to that group. And then you're gone because the cancer, your cancer was so aggressive. But you don't know that by you going that one time made a difference in somebody else's life. Even though you never went back, you might have, you know. So I believe we carry on things like that. People just come in and out of your life like that. And there's a purpose. He does that for a purpose that we, and it's like you just said, to help us. Because sometimes you don't want to listen to your family. You don't want to listen to the people in your church. You don't want to, but just a stranger maybe, or just somebody that you're kind of an acquaintance with says, you know, well, I've already had that guy.
We read about people too that are in, they're having surgery or something.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody appears in their room at daytime, and they'll never be seen again.
There are angels.
Mm-hmm. I want to share something too. One time, of course, my husband managed a clothing store downtown, and he went to the bank one day to take the money. And he had a really bad headache that day. And he said when he walked in the bank, it was this little older black lady that was coming out. And she put her hand on his head and said, "Son, you're going to be all right." And he said, his head quit hurting. And he said, "I got to thank that lady." And he went out and looked out down the street, and she was nowhere to be seen. But he told me that story when he came home that night. And I'm sure it happened. That had to be an angel.
Well,
Joy tells a story, and I've heard her tell it before, and she told me it happened again this week, about a sweet aroma. Things are really bad for her sometimes. She said, all of a sudden I'm just breathing, and all of a sudden there's this sweet aroma. She said, it's just like a perfume. She said, it's just a sweet aroma, the only way I can describe it. And she said, it happened last week when her mom passed away. She said, it was there. And she said, all of a sudden it was just real dire. And she said, all of a sudden it was just a peace, and I just smelled this sweet aroma. And I knew everything was going to be okay.
Yep.
She's got such childlike faith.
Because we have to learn, and Jesus learned this in Gethsemane, is how to accept what we cannot understand and still say, "God, thou art love. I build my faith on that." because there are a lot of things in life that we don't understand, and at times we'll never understand why certain things happened. But God, thou art my love, or my art love, and I build my faith on that. You know, like Paul is teaching, it's not Paul. He's teaching the Word of God, and where would we be without that? What would we understand?
We need with a future help for us, the sickness, the differences in our lives, the changes with our children, our spouses. If we knew all that, then would you want to be a Christian? If I knew that everything from this day on was just going to be negative in my life, why would I want to be a Christian and pray and seek help when it was not doing any good?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we saw Paul, I mean, look the struggles he did, and he continued. And he just, the difference, like we talked about last week, what if there hadn't been a Paul? What if we just went from the disciples to Jesus on the cross and we didn't have a Paul? Because his strength is so evident in the scriptures that we read about him. So if Paul hadn't been there, what would we be reflecting on in the scriptures? Where, mm-hmm. you know,
aren't
we blessed, though,
to be protected from knowing what's going to happen?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And see, as cool as Paul was with the Holy Spirit, he still wasn't like Jesus to the point. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul just walked along with the faith, not knowing what was going to happen to him at the end.
Because Verses 9, it says, you know, we've been persecuted and we're struck down but not destroyed. One writer wrote, we're knocked down but not knocked out. And verse 10 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. It says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul, talking about this, could we understand some of the secrets of his life and how he endured it? Number one, he says if he was well aware that if a man would share the life of Christ, he must also share his risk. That if a man wished to live with Christ, he must be ready to die with him also. And you could throw a little phrase in, no cross, no crown. It also says that Paul was able to speak with such courage and have disregard of his personal safety because he believed that even if death took him, then God would also raise him up. And we have that promise. And he bore all this through his convictions. And I don't know much about this. This writer pointed out, he's talking about the Boulder Dam. That I guess wherever it is in its place, that at one point it was just a deserted area, desert. So they built this dam so that there would be water, nourishment of that. But what he brought out was that there were a lot of workers who worked on this dam and died while working and building that dam. And they took a tablet and inscribed every man's name on there and then placed it in a wall. And the inscription says, these died that the desert might rejoice and blossom as the rose. So you take that, looking at Paul's life, Paul was willing, we should be willing, to do these things, to be bold, to be an example of Christ. And if it came to the point, and I know we've maybe talked before about persecution, maybe we don't understand persecution in our lives like Paul had in his life, but is it coming? One day, will there be that severe persecution against Christians? Will we be strong enough, or would we be strong enough to stand up like Paul, knowing that if our life was taken, I did it for the glory of God?
I think sometimes we think persecution is that we're automatically going to be killed.
But no.
You're persecuted, your friendships, if you're friends with somebody that's a non-Christian and you try to witness, something happens and they don't want to, they're going to turn on you because, so we are persecuted in a lot of ways. It's kind of like grief. We always think of grief if somebody died, but there are other ways that we have grief in our life. It's the same thing with persecution.
Because verse 16, the last couple of verses there, 16 and 18. It says, therefore we do not give up. Says, even though our outer person is being destroyed, but our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Does that give you maybe a little peace and comfort? Knowing that, I'm here on this earth and I see all this stuff going on and I don't like it and I wish I could change it and make this world a better place. I can't. But I don't need to focus on that. Because if I focus on that every moment of every day, I'm going to lose my sight on what is to come. Because we're promised the unseen, so to speak, is what do we know is heaven is going to be like?
Perfect.
Peaceful.
And we also think, because I'm looking at human, so I promise that I won't do this, and then I break my promise. But we go back to the Old Testament and see all the promises that were made for those people to carry them, and every one of those were fulfilled. Those promises were fulfilled. So fast forwarded over to the New Testament, that's not going to change, even though it was a different era and a different that still didn't change. So we were promised from the Old Testament and promises in the New Testament. So like it says, for the things which are not seen are eternal. That reflects on your faith, I think. It makes you.
Because, could Paul have gotten through what he went through without realizing what was promised to him? Because we'll close with this thought. It says, when a person has the conviction that what is happening to them is happening literally for Christ's sake, they can face anything.
So when it's happening to me,
it's different, huh?
That's right.
It's happening to you. You need to understand that.
That's right. And that's true. That's true. We are. That's the human part. When it's happening to me, it is major. And when it's happening,
nobody else has experienced that.
Absolutely. Because you hear folks talk about, well, it's only minor surgery. Well, it's major surgery when it's happening to you. And it's the same thing through life. If it's okay if it's happening to you, but it better, I don't want it to be happening to me. And that's our human aspect. There again, aren't you thankful that Paul didn't look at it that way?
Yep.
And we really, I mean, he was so full of the Holy Spirit. How, it makes you wonder, how are we not as full as he was?
Mm-hmm.
He's just an amazing man.
Strong. Miss Lee.
Miss Allen members pray for Joy this week.
Is she home?
She's home.
Okay.
She's home. And Mamie.
Anybody else?
One of the Dobbins. Did y'all know the Dobbins?
Phil
and
Bill was just telling us.
Philip lost his wife.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.